All right, welcome to another edition of the Saints Happy Hour Patron Spotlight. As always, anyone that is a supporter of the show that donates at least $5, you get in the Patron Spotlight raffle. We pick a winner a month, or we try to, and you get to come on and do a quick mini podcast episode with me. This is the first time we're going international, baby. We're going all the way to the UK and talking to a Saints Happy Hour Podbean fan. Kips, did I say your name correctly?
Yeah, that's correct, Kips.
So, Kips, how did you find our show with all the options of Saints media and information in the UK? How did you find our show?
Yeah, so to be honest, I was desperate to just get a dose of Saints news, because it's like a barren wasteland in England for Saints. It's so lonely being a Saints fan in England. I cannot even begin to describe how bad it is. So naturally, I went on some podcasts, and I'm looking around, and I found a whole bunch. I mean, originally the list was about 10, and I'd listen to the podcast each week. Your podcast stood out. I think by week 3, I deleted all the others, and I was hooked.
We feel honored.
On your show. It was awesome. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The introduction was a big part of it, because the first thing you hear is it's going to be hardcore analysis, and I thought, yeah, this is what I want. And then you start talking about the zombie apocalypse, and I'm like, actually, this is what I want. These guys are insane, and it's awesome. But it's awesome. The fact that you guys hardly agree on anything just makes it amazing. But yeah, it was definitely a standout show and a highlight of my week.
So how... That's a great compliment. And by the way, we're working on another... We have had a meeting, and we have picked the sound for the new open. So I swear to God, we are on the road to new open. We had a group text with me, Andrew, and Dave, and we have the sound bites ready to go for the new open. We're going to get that done probably this week. Depends on when people listen to this show. But watching the Saints in the UK has got to be a unique experience. It's sort of like the reverse of me. I'm an Everton fan in the UK, right? And so it's 6 hours ahead. So Everton, if they play at noon, that's a 6 a.m. kickoff for me, and I'll get up if they're competitive, yeah. And you know, or I'll DVR it. But for you, it's the opposite, right? Like the Saints, everything is late night, especially like if they play at 7 o'clock kickoff or 3 o'clock.
If it's a late game, it's hard, but you know, it's so worth it. But yeah, it's difficult to watch.
So like, so do you look at the schedule and you're kind of torn, because you're like, I want the Saints to win. And when you win, you get the primetime night games, but fuck, those night games got to be brutal, right? I mean, they kick off at like the Monday Night Football. It kicks off what? 1:30 Brent?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh my God.
It's like 1:32, finishes 4 a.m. This year has been a unique year, because the Saints over here have, obviously because of 2017 was such a great season, this year they've decided to televise a whole bunch of the games, which means I don't even get them on the NFL Game Pass app. And because I don't have any sports channels, because I hate all the British sports, I literally had to drive to 24-hour sports bars to watch 8 of the Saints games this year.
Oh,
and I would literally be sitting there at 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. alone, drinking ginger beer and ginger ale, screaming at the top of my lungs. You know, it was just crazy. I couldn't believe how many Saints games were blacked out this year, but it was worth it. It's so worth it.
I'd imagine that it would be like like a rom-com plot. Like you at the sports bar, you stumble out at 4 a.m. and you meet the lady of your dreams, or if your wife, if you're married now, and like you make a movie of it. Like,
it's a weird experience. Like, I've got to go down to the sports bar, I've got to see the Saints. And it's when I met a couple from New Orleans there, it was so random. They'd come to watch a Saints game, and I was like, you guys are the first people I've ever met in my life from New Orleans. And it was amazing to watch a Saints game with people from New Orleans. And obviously, naturally, I'm asking them loads of questions. And I did tell them at the time, that was the Steelers game. And I did tell them, if the Saints make it to the championship game and it's at home, that will be my first visit to New Orleans and my first time to the Superdome.
Oh, that wasn't a good. That wasn't a good. Did you end up? Did you end up going?
Of course.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
What? That's
yeah.
not a great.
Yeah.
Not a great
No.
introduction. Although kind of, I mean, it kind of was great because it was Bedlam, and it was the. I mean, people that I knew, and you know, my family, I've had season tickets for going on 30 years. My brother said it was the loudest thing he's ever attended in his life, and he used to go to heavy metal concerts when he was a
Yeah, I mean,
teenager.
I've been to 40 Metallica concerts, and I can tell you honestly that the Superdome that night was the loudest thing I have ever experienced in my life. I mean, I was so exhausted after the game. When I got to the hotel, I actually collapsed from all the screaming and shouting we'd been doing, even before the no flag. I mean, let's talk straight. That was the best 58 minutes and 30 seconds of my life, and then it just crashed.
Yeah, it was so weird because I never I always I mean I was nervous throughout the whole game, but I had this sense that like Saints are gonna win this. They're gonna win this. They're gonna win this. They're gonna win this. And then when the call happened, the dread just set in. But on a happier note, how did you become a Saints fan? What made you say, I want to watch American football? Not only do I want to watch American football, I want to pick the Saints. How do you
Yeah.
take us through that process?
So two names are 100% responsible for me being a Saints fan. The first name is Katrina, because when you're over here in England, obviously Katrina got a lot of press, and every time I turned on the news to see what was happening in New Orleans, a place I'd never visited before, the overwhelming theme was, this city has really been hit hard. They've been destroyed. There's nothing left but their football team. All they have is the Saints. And you just kind of subconsciously want to root for that team. I'm like, well, I really hope that team starts doing well so this team can start at least having something to look forward to. And that was a big, big part of it. So that drew me to the Saints. And then the second name is Drew Brees. When I saw him play, I mean, I've been a fan now since 2007. When I saw him play, it was so different to the American football I'd watched when I was younger, because you can't get it that much over here. You'd get the Super Bowl and the playoffs, and it was just a different play style. The way he was passing the ball, I literally fell in love with the game on a whole new level. And when you see people like Reggie Bush as well, I was just like, what is this? Is this another version of a game I've been watching?
Were you an NFL fan before Katrina happened?
Right, so yeah, kind of like you can't follow it that well over here, but yeah, I love the NFL. From a young age, me and my brother used to stay up and watch the Super Bowl. And over here, you could only really get, I mean, I don't know why, but in the 80s, there was a big push for the Raiders. So everyone had Raiders merch over here. I don't know if it was part of the LA thing. So even my parents used to wear LA Raiders stuff, but they never watched a game of American football in their life.
Raiders gear,
Yeah,
man.
yeah.
It's a
Yeah.
pop culture thing. It just
Yeah, it was cool. I had a Raiders jacket as a kid. It was just one of those things. But like I said, it was hard to watch. When I actually started watching the game and understanding the game, the Saints to me were the next level. It was an evolution of the sport I thought I knew, and it was unbelievable to watch. I mean, I do coach American football over here now at Birmingham Uni, and if anyone turns up in a Saints jersey, I'm very happy. Thomas Morstead actually came to the uni a couple of years ago, and I got to meet him, and he did some kind of a kicking masterclass showing us how to kick the ball. It was a waste of time because none of us could kick it like he could, but he was amazing to meet. That was awesome.
So, what are the main teams that you people in the UK follow? Is it the teams we think of, or are the Raiders still a big deal? Who are the teams that most people follow in the UK?
Well, the Jaguars have now got a following over here because they keep coming over for the London games. And when they do come over, we do cheer them. I've got a season ticket, so I go to every single NFL game that is played in London, regardless of who plays. And the Jaguar game always has a strong fan base until last year, when the Eagles fans just completely destroyed the Jags fans. It was unbelievable. I never knew there was such a strong Eagles presence. Now, I don't know if it was because of the recent success of the Super Bowl, but typically you get a lot of Chicago Bears fans over here. You get a lot of Raiders fans over here. There's a lot of Miami Dolphins fans over here. It's from the older generations when it was a more popular sport. Like, I expect this year the Raiders Chicago Bears game to be quite a big game because there's a lot of fan base here in England for both those teams.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I obviously I don't know anything about what the UK, how they follow NFL. I follow soccer, but soccer, I feel like, is such a global thing, especially the EPL. Like, it's easy to consume whatever I want. As far as Everton, where with you guys, I know they did something with the EU where, like, there are certain sites now. Like, I know I was emailing another a UK listener. He was asking me. He was like, I can't get the Advocate. I can't get Underhill. I can't get this. I can't get that because they block certain web addresses or whatever for because of privacy reasons. Has that sort of tightened it up and made it even more difficult to get your Saints fix in your news?
Well, because, like I said, I mean, 3 years ago when I got the Game Pass, that literally changed my life because now I can watch every single Saints game. And obviously, I get into it. Your podcast, I can't even explain how much it has helped. I've been following you guys a couple of years and it has changed because I don't have anyone to talk to about Saints. So instead, I just shout at the radio when you guys are talking. Yeah, because you guys will say something. And I'm like, are you guys, what are you talking about? And then someone will say what I'm thinking. And it feels like I've got friends because over here, like I said, there's no Saints fans. There might be some. I think I've met two in my life in England. And one of them I kind of persuaded to be a Saints fan is someone I coach. But yeah, it's much easier now to follow this sport with the Game Pass, with the podcasts, and so long as you find the right medium, it's amazing. I mean, like, I think my favorite part of the day is getting a notification knowing that the 7 minutes has gone up. I mean, that is just, for me, that's just pure bliss.
Well, for you, it works out great, right? Because we try to turn these out, you know, like we did the one, we try to churn them out and do them, for 8 a.m., which for you is perfect. It's probably like right in the middle of the day, right? 2 or 3 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Or even you. I never know when it's going to come.
We turn one out later at, you know, if they have breaking news, it's 2 or 3, it's later your time, and you have it to drive into work or listen to work if you take the subway or different things. You know, and, you know, when me and Andrew started that, Kips, we were like, are people really going to want to listen to me and you have a phone call and discuss a Saints topic for 10 minutes? And we were like, well, we'll just do it. We have these phone conversations 2 and 3 times a day anyway. We'll just tape them and throw them up and see how we did. And people love them, especially for like now when free agency is breaking and that sort of
thing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, and I think I don't know that we're necessarily the best podcast because people like what they like. But I will say we get people immediate reaction faster than other podcasts where other people have to wait and do things. Me and Andrew are like, Saints sign Teddy Bridgewater, step outside, record that son of a gun, boom, we're on our way, and you get it. And I think, not that we're breaking news, but we are like breaking reaction. And I think people really appreciate it. I have people that say, hey, I don't listen to it every day, but the 7 minutes of Saints, I combine them all and I do it during my workout or I do it during my drive to work on Friday or whatever.
That's cool.
We're really thankful. But so for you, the schedule release, for us, it's a huge deal. You know, it's like, when are the Saints going to play? When are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? And I'm like, I got to plan my travel schedule. I'm going to pick a couple games to fly to New Orleans. But you, that's got to be fucking life-altering. Like, you are like, how many times am I going to have to be up at 2 in the morning? When am I going to be doing this? Like, that must be even a gigantic, like, plan your whole fucking fall around the Saints schedule.
Yeah, I mean, the first game I look for, the very first game I look for is the Saints at Tampa Bay, because it's expensive to get to New Orleans. It's really cheap to get to Orlando. So even last year in December, I fly out for that game. I'll be flying out for that game for the rest of my life unless the conference changes. So that's the first game. I look for it. I book my tickets and I go to Disneyland Universal Studios and I drive to Tampa Bay and I watch that game. So that at least then I know I've got one Saints game every year. But the rest of them, yeah, it's crazy. It's there's another late night. There's another late night. Our work's going to suck the day after that.
I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, sometimes I will, because of the Game Pass, if it's a really late one, I'll get up as it finishes. So I'll get up at like 4 a.m. and then watch it before I go to work, as opposed to staying up late. And then if the result isn't what I want, I can't sleep. So you do have to sacrifice sometimes and not watch it live. Yeah, it's just one of those lesser of two evils. It's, if I watch this game and what I want to happen doesn't happen, I'm not going to sleep. And then I'm going to be even worse at work. And I'm going to shout at everyone because the Saints did something weird. But yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to the new
season.
Gonna
be, you're just pounding coffee and you're like, I can't believe that, you know, the Dallas game or the first Tampa game.
The Dallas game, I was in an airport about to fly to France, and I had to watch that game in an airport, and I've never, ever got on a plane so angry in all my life. And it wasn't because we lost. It was because we got schooled. You know, it was hard to watch. It was really hard to. I was hoping that we threw the game and no one knew anything about it except the Saints, but that was a hard game to watch.
Yeah. Well, my theory going, you know, besides the refs screwing the Saints out of a Super Bowl, Kips, my theory is the three games in 11 days exhausted the Saints' offensive line in a way that they never recovered. You know,
I think there was that.
You know, and I think, you know, that they just never, their offensive line before Dallas and after Dallas, it was two different things. And, you know, I think it's borne out with Unger retiring and different things happening, but that's just the way it goes. But I can't imagine, like, your dedication, especially during the 7-9 seasons when they were terrible, they were 4-8, 5-8, and you're just trudging into the games. That's a level of dedication that is above and beyond almost any New Orleans born Saints fan.
7-9 wasn't easy. I mean, when I'm sitting over here, I mean, I remember the third 7-9, and I said to someone who wasn't really interested in what I was saying, but I rant about the NFL to everyone over here, even people who don't know what it is. I might rant to someone for an hour, and I was like, you know how I know I'm a real Saints fan? Because it might be time for Drew Brees to move on. I actually said that to someone. I was like, that's how I know I'm a real fan, because he made me a fan of the Saints, along with what happened to the city, and I don't think it's happening anymore, and I'm so glad I was wrong.
I will say that I'm not as dedicated an Everton fan as you are a Saints fan, because when they were bad with Sam Allardyce as the manager and they played a bunch of 6 a.m. games in a row, I was like, I'm just going to DVR it. And I'll wake up at 9 and I will watch it with the remote in my hand, because I cannot watch this disgusting, boring display of soccer. But you just keep on trudging. I much respect, my guy. That's pretty impressive. So you said you're going to Tampa.
Yeah, I'll be going to Tampa.
Do you have any other plans for 2019, and since gambling is legal and widespread in the UK, have you wagered on the 2019 Saints yet?
No, you see, I don't. This is it. I'm teetotal on gambling. Like, I don't gamble at all. I actually don't have caffeine either. I'm all ginger beer, ginger ales, but just for the energy, the sugar. But I don't gamble. But if I had to gamble, I'm saying they're gonna have a winning season. You know, the Ingram move was a weird one, especially because of the result of what happened. And we are going to have to wait to see what our new guy does and how well he works with Kamara. But I really am hopeful that this year we're going to go for it. We went for it last. In my opinion, we did not lose. We are still in the playoffs. In order to have lost, that flag would have had to have been thrown, and then we would have had to lose. We did everything we needed to do. Everything was right. Yeah. You know, we changed it to a pass play because we saw the zero blitz come in. As far as I'm concerned, we won that game. So the Saints are still undefeated in 2018, and I'm going to say that forever. And I don't care who you are and what you say. And you know, the only person who said it was on Good Morning Football, Kay Adams said it. She said, hang on a minute, you know, they won that game and everyone else shut it down because, you know, you can't really go against the machine. But that is one thing I will say, and I can never get to your questions because when you guys say who's got a question, it's never in a time where I can send it. But my one question was, you know, the NFL, you know, let's just put it straight, they screwed us. They screwed us bad. And then what we did as a fan base is we shunned them and we hit them where it hurt, which is on their ratings, especially obviously the Super Bowl. Now, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm the NFL and I'm sitting in that throne and I'm thinking, okay, so you hit us where it hurts, I'm just kind of scared. Do you not think they're going to try to maybe punish the Saints because of what we did? I mean, they've already hurt us by stopping us from going to Atlanta, but, you know, I just don't know. That's the only thing I'm nervous about. Will they try to do it again because we, you know, we did hit them where it hurts, which is their ratings?
It's going to be really interesting to me, and this will be the final thought. And Kip, thanks for giving us so much time. I appreciate it. My thing is, I, Sean Payton, he loves his motivational tactic, right? And last year it was "Prove 'em Right," and he has his slogan and his T-shirts, and he put in, and it's great, right? The fans get behind it, and it's fun. I'm curious to see what his slogan is for this year. I have a great idea for my WWL column. It's so good, Kips. I'm not even going to say it on this podcast because I don't want another writer to listen to the show and steal it. But it is so good, my preview idea. And I think Sean Payton is going to take a variant of it for the Saints. But basically, my theory is, fuck you, it's ours, we're taking it. And it's just going to be straight anger. And I want the Saints to burn every NFL team to the ground and humiliate teams and take no prisoners and show no mercy. We'll see if they could do it. But thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting the show. Anybody, if you're a $5 or higher donation, you get in the drawing. You can have this mini podcast like me and Kips did, even though he's in England. If you're in New Zealand, if you're in other places in Europe, if you're in Louisiana or Houston, it doesn't matter. But you can do it. We appreciate everybody that donates to the show. It allows us to do cool stuff like this, have fun audio, have extra shows. So Kips, my guy, I'll be thinking about you, during games now, because I'll be like, especially the nighttime games, I'll be like, man, it's 10, it's 4 in the morning, and the Saints are tied. I wonder how my guy Kips is doing. He's not drinking, but I know he's somewhere in the UK, alone in a bar, ranting to the heavens as to why this is happening to our Saints.
That's awesome. Thanks for having me on, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.